Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
A very warm welcome to the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin.
Hello.
There's producer Vin there, busy doing organising things, moving paper, pressing buttons.
Making piles.
Yeah, you know what he's doing? He's getting himself ready for cricket. That's what he's doing.
Always ready.
One thing I can promise you in this podcast is there will be no cricket to chat. Maybe just a little bit.
There better be.
There'll just be a little bit.
Are you saying that my cricket stuff isn't making it in?
Well, we used to have Felix from the Maccabees come on the show and talk about cricket. Maybe we should bring that back.
He's started doing a rival cricket podcast.
Do we give him the idea?
Yeah. No platforming him now.
I want 5% for that. On today's Evening Show podcast, the one you're listening to right now, we've got Noel Gallagher on this podcast. He came in on Thursday night and talked all about the new album and gave us lots of abuse as well. I've known him for a long time. I would get really nervous about interviewing Noel because he can unpick the thread of my personality very, very quickly. And he did that. So we've got Noel Gallagher. We've got a bit of Liam Fray, Cortina's classic album chat, their debut, St Jude, from way back in 2008. That was a great chat talking about it. Much loved by Radio X listeners. We got a huge response to that.
It's a bit of a cult album, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And the artwork. I didn't know, actually, that Liam had painted that.
Yeah, well. I only found that out this week as well.
He's a talented boy. Did you know both his parents are teachers as well?
No.
He's a very articulate, well-educated young man.
Ah.
And all the other nonsense as well on this podcast. I hope you enjoy it. I'll see you on the other side.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That's the New Radicals. You get what you give on Radio X. You're listening to the Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. And it is Noel Gallagher night. That was the song that was the soundtrack to Noel Gallagher's 50th birthday. Good evening, Noel Gallagher.
Good evening, Gogsy.
6 months since your birthday party. Have you recovered from that?
I recovered from that. It took a couple of weeks, but I'm still suffering. Still suffering from last Thursday.
Oh, which one was that? Was that South America? No, it wasn't.
No. We had a night that escalated from nothing.
Yeah.
Into, you know, it's 10 to 7 in the morning kind of vibes. It's usual.
Will it ever calm down, though? Keep expecting it to calm down.
I sincerely hope not.
Yeah, keep it going.
I sincerely hope not. There's no greater sight than you gibbering, drinking aftershave at 4 o'clock in the morning.
You said to me, just ride it till the wheels come off. I've not come off yet.
Well, what can I say? You know what I mean?
I've got two left.
You've got two.
Nice to know, you're co-hosting tonight, right? So you've got a screen there with the music on it. Mm-hmm. You've got a log there with some other music. You're going to choose some tunes and we're going to pay you £7 an hour.
I've chose some tunes. I can't see you've put
what have we got in?
One of them on.
You're going to give me this Big Shack business again, aren't you?
Big Shack. You know what? I've been around the world doing promo, and I come back from New York the other day, and in the kitchen with my two lads, who 10 and 7, and told one of them to take his hoodie off while he was having his lunch, and he said, I'd never heard it before, he said, man's not hot. And I was like, what? And he went, man's not hot. And I went, who's not hot? And he went, man. And I was like, what? And then he went, scrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr Big Shaq. I'd never heard of this Big Shaq before until 3 days ago. That's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. I always find that funny with you and Mike Pickering as well. Like when Mike Pickering first introduced me, so I said, "Gordon, this is Charlie," and I expect him to go, "All right, mate." Yeah. And he went, "Pleasure to meet you, Gordon." And is it? And he's got a lovely accent. Donovan and Sonny have got a lovely accent.
You pay for isn't it?
Yeah, crime lads.
You pay for your kids not to sound like Ali G. You know. Big Shaq. And so I was watching this Big Shaq fella, and I was thinking, it can't be real. And turns out he's a comedian. Called Michael Dapper. And he's a genius. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen on the internet.
You're going to take him on tour?
Oh, I'd love to. If you're listening, Michael, get in touch. We'd do some gigs. It'd be amazing.
The Scissors and that on tour.
Be too much, wouldn't it?
But maybe that's too much.
Be too much. Oh, maybe wouldn't be enough.
No, listen, I keep saying that to you. Will it ever calm down? Three nights this year. I keep expecting it to settle down. And this year, I think three of the biggest nights we've ever had, right? Your 50th, which was ridiculous. Glastonbury got totally out of hand. And then I think Dublin with you too, another kind of night where you lose your shoes.
But, apocalyptic nights, but brilliant though. My birthday, my 50th, was... I've only had three birthday parties. I've had one for my 30th, one for my 40th, and one for my 50th. And all three of them have been monumental, but my 50th was just incredible. Such a laugh. And... you're not supposed to enjoy your own birthday parties. I had the best time more than anyone. Like the Cuban brothers, Mike Pickering and Graham Park.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah.
All your mates, and they're all flown in from all over the world, bar maybe two or three.
Yeah.
And we had the best time.
So it wasn't really your birthday party, though, was it? It was Sarah's. That's why you enjoyed it so much.
She organised it on my behalf, and only because she, and I know she's listening, and I'll direct it to you, only because you, like a coward, will never acknowledge that you're 50. I don't even know how old she is. But no one will know she's 50 until she's at least 60. And she organised it for herself. It's like the 50th she'll never acknowledge.
Yeah. My missus kept saying to me, like, just don't embarrass yourself on the first night.
It's pretty hard for you, it's got to be said.
It was a challenge for me, right? So I kind of tried to keep it sensible on the first night. And then I saw Bob Geldof lying underneath the table.
Fell asleep, didn't he?
He fell asleep under the table. I thought, I might be all right here.
Man, get it right.
You know, sorry, Sir Bob. Sir Bob, and then Madonna turned up, and I looked around at one point, and you were introducing Scully, you know, one of your ne'er-do-well, or our ne'er-do-well friends.
He's in the, let's say, he's just say he's in the secondary ticket market.
The import and export business as well occasionally does that. But it was a mad combination of characters, wasn't it? But the problem is, right, see, when I turn 40, I can't have a party now because, you know, Jeanette Cranky in the corner is never going to be the same, is it?
No, I've been invited to a couple of parties since, actually, our good friend Mikey John's party. And
yes.
When he said, it's at Cheltenham Races, I was like, probably going to pass on that one.
It was a good idea.
As parties go.
Yes.
Pretty good, it's got to be said. And what were the other? Glastonbury.
Oof.
Glastonbury. That was the Friday night.
Yes.
What happened?
Well, it escalated quickly, I think, is the best way to describe it. And the last thing I remember was...
Oh, Pickering was DJing, wasn't he?
So
Pickering's DJing, and that's it for me. I don't need to see any bands. And I'm not sure at one point, the two people having the most fun was me and Mike Pickering.
Yeah.
And we had a great time. And then the one after that was Dublin with you two, which was just the most ridiculous night I've ever had.
Just ridiculous, wasn't it? What a party.
You know, when they did they're doing Where the Streets Have No Name, right? And they've got the biggest screen in the world. And at this point where it's all going crazy, like the Irish Air Force do a flyover with green, white and gold things. And afters were saying to Polo, going, really?
Yeah.
Really? Like the biggest screen
for the
biggest band playing the best song of the biggest album. If that's not enough, who's invited the Air Force? And he's like, is it a little bit over the top? You might say that.
Sensational. I remember after Glastonbury as well, I saw Sienna Miller on the tube and she came up and said, I was a bit worried about you and Noel at Glastonbury.
Why? What did we do?
I think we're in a
smooching.
Rather special place. Smooching, movie smooching.
It's a careless whisper.
No, you're co-hosting, right? Would you like to introduce our record of the week on Radio X?
So this is the record of the week on Radio X, and I just happen to have wrote it. It's from my new, soon-to-be best-selling album, Who Built the Moon? And this is It's a Beautiful World.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Okay, well, that was your record of the week, Pop Pickers. That was It's a Beautiful World by Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. And I'm now going to pass you over to Gordon Smart, who is going to ask me a question.
Thank you very much, Noel Gallagher. Done with verve and panache.
It's with a G.
Well, I know you've done
people
it again.
Insist on saying Gallagher.
You gave me an eye about this last time. I think I am saying it with a G, though.
No,
Gallagher.
You're saying it with a C. The Scottish way.
Sorry about that. The album sleeve.
Yes.
Who Built the Moon? There's a beautiful lady on the front of that album sleeve. Who is that lady?
That is my missus.
Aha.
The lovely Sarah. And how she's ended up on that is, originally there was a picture that, I must say, the guy that's done this artwork is my postman, Gareth Halliday. And he doesn't do art. And I came across his work, and I got in touch with him out of the blue.
Yeah.
I never met him. He clearly knew who I was. And I've said to him, you're doing my artwork for the album. And he sent me this amazing picture the other day. He's still a postman. He's doing his round, and he was delivering somebody's Q magazine with a full back page advert of the artwork. And he's like, this is the most bizarre day of my life.
Yeah.
And if you're listening, Gareth, which you're probably not, probably in the sorting office somewhere, you're a genius.
You're not paid him enough to give up the postage job, have you?
Oh, absolutely not. No way.
Of course not.
Not people do it for the love.
Yeah.
Well, how Sarah's ended up on this cover is the original shot was it was a picture that Gareth had cut out of a National Geographic magazine, and it was a woman pretty much in the same pose from the 50s in Havana in Cuba. And we were going right to the deadline of the record, and I was sat at the kitchen table, and I got a phone call from one of the girls who runs my label in the office, and she said, "We can't clear this picture, so you're going to have to reshoot this thing." And I was like, "When have we got to have the album delivered?" And she said, "In 2 days." And I was like, "But where are we going to find anybody to do this in 2 days? She's like, "Don't know, we're going to have to audition some models." And I was going, "Who on earth is going to do this in two... Hang on a second. Sarah, what's that? What are you doing tomorrow?" "Why?" "See this girl on the cover of this album?" "Aye." "Think you could do that?" "Yeah, okay. Okay, hang on a minute, I think Sarah's going to do it." And she said, "Can I choose the clothes?" "Yeah." "Can I keep the clothes?" I was like, "Come on, you're not getting paid though." I was like, don't start being a diva now. Yeah. You know, but so we shot it in a basement flat on Wimpole Street. And I was showing the album cover to someone the other day, and he went, "Wow, where's that shot?" And I was like, "That's not a real landscape." Yeah. Clearly not a real
it's
landscape.
Made a field.
It's clearly something like Gareth has thought of that and put it together. Like, "Oh, is it?" No, there's no place on earth that looks that beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
But So Sarah's on these massive billboards all over the place, which my two boys are finding highly amusing.
And I'm sure she's thoroughly enjoying it as well, isn't she?
She is. She didn't get paid for it, which is a good thing. She didn't.
It's a bargain.
Radio. Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm a little bit fragile today after a ridiculous 24 hours in the company of special forces down in the Sussex countryside. I've been doing a bit of work as an ambassador this year for Movember, the charity highlighting prostate and testicular cancer and also the suicide rates in young men. So in May, they asked me if we'd be willing to take part in this event with a company called Breakpoint. The two guys from SAS Who Dares Wins, Foxy, Jason Fox, and Ollie Ollerton, who were both SBS operatives. They've worked in Afghanistan, Africa, and all the rest of it. So they set up a company taking normal characters through what it's like to do some of the training to become a special forces personnel. And I tell you what, it was brutal. The physical part of it alone, you know, yomping through muddy fields, and they give us a bit of a physical challenge as well. Can you carry your partner over a certain distance? So we got warmed up, did some map reading, and then we were given our mission behind enemy lines to go and save a lost pilot. But our cover story was all about being a humanitarian organisation counting refugees coming over the border. So the big moment was when we were taken prisoner, about 12 hours ago now, I think it was. Our van was toppled over, we had guns put in our faces, bags pulled over our heads, and then we were taken into captivity, where we were subjected to what can only be described as a brutal interrogation. Now, we only got 2 hours of it. If you're joining the Special Forces, you get this for 36 hours, and I was so close after my 2 hours to giving up. It was horrible. It was odd. So they pull the bag over your head, put these black goggles on over your eyes, then they put headphones on you and play you what's known as white noise, which is awful. After about 5 minutes, it's unbearable. After 2 hours, it was just driving me mad. But one of the things that got me through was thinking about the music, and I was thinking about things I can play on Radio X, all my favourite songs, trying to remember the lyrics just to pass the time. And as you're doing it, all of a sudden you're grabbed by the hands, your wrists are tied up with tie wraps, pulled into a porta cabin, and then I was quizzed by two of the characters you might know from that series, Who Dares Wins SAS. And it wasn't very nice at all. But one of the things they'd done, they'd Google you because they'd found your phone, knew where you were, knew who you are, and they were asking me all about Radio X, and weirdly ended up having a conversation about the playlist on Radio X with two professional interrogators. So anyway, it was all for a good cause. We did that for Movember, and I think we've raised quite a lot of money. But if you'd like to support us, and it is a really important charity, it means an awful lot to an awful lot of people. We've all been touched by prostate or testicular cancer in our families, and the suicide rate in men is quite shocking in this country. 12 men every day in the UK take their own lives, and it frankly has to be fixed. So if you can help us, go along to movember.com/momission, that's MOMISSION, and please make a donation. We'd be very grateful. And you can see some of the antics we got up to there as well. They were brutal. I'm just finding bruises now, actually, as we're sitting in the studio. I didn't quite realise how rough and tough it had been. Anyway, it was all worth it. And I'm going to play one of the songs that got me through while I was being interrogated by the SAS. This is The Stone Roses now, and Sally Cinnamon on Radio X.
Until sound. Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now here's a little bit of fashion news for you. Now, normally on the show, we poke a bit of fun at Miles Kane for his fashion sense, but we're going to have a little bit of a laugh at Alex Turner today. But maybe not, it's just jealousy speaking. Alex Turner has got the honour of having one of his jackets featuring in a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame exhibition. Really is a sign you've made it when that happens. The memorabilia was worn by Alex during Arctic Monkeys AM Tour 4 years ago and is part of the Right Here, Right Now collection in Cleveland, Ohio, which you'll find is an expensive bus ticket from Sheffield. Music fans can also feast their eyes on a variety of donated items from the Black Keys, Bruno Mars, Sia, The Struts and loads of other bands. Tell you what, Alex has really made it. It's normally Michael Jackson you go and see his jackets in museums, or David Bowie, so he's in proud company. Just a reminder, as if you need one, Arctic Monkeys will release their 6th studio album in 2018, early on as well, from what we hear, and it sounds like they're already being lined up and signing on the dotted line for all the big festivals. Can't come quickly enough.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
No, we've had a question from a regular listener, a man called Renton, Neil Renton, from Leith in Edinburgh.
No way. Are you sure?
Not making it up for the first time ever.
Okay. Man.
And he asked, if they made a movie of Oasis and somebody had to play you, who would it be?
Now, initially, I'm thinking Morgan Freeman. But I'm going to... Maybe Matthew McConaughey.
Yes. Now, come on.
I could see him, you know, all right. yeah, he's got the body.
Yes, clearly. You know?
He's got the looks.
Yeah, he can...
Can't fail.
He can pile the tequila in without any hassle.
He can go there, man. He can... Yeah. He's on the firm, that's for sure.
Tell me about how you introduced yourself to him at a recent wedding.
So we're on tour in South America with U2, and we're at a wedding, and it's a really good friend of ours, and he lives in Hollywood, Beverly Hills, to be exact. And... all these people are going to be at this wedding, so we're in the hotel foyer before we have to go off to this wedding thing, and me and Sarah, I'll admit, we'd had a couple of drinks.
Bit of a warm up.
It was 11 o'clock in the morning as well, but we were starting early, you know, and it was a day off, and we was like, oh, there's Matthew McConaughey, get on that, and I don't know a great deal about his films, right? But I love The Wolf of Wall Street. And I was a bit tipsy and I was like, I'm going to go and say hello to him. And she was like, go on, introduce yourself. So I went over and I just went, "You," he said, I said to him, "You don't know me, but I love you." And he went, "First of all, I want to thank you for coming across here and spreading the good word. Secondly, let's get this couple married. And we're going to stretch the something out of this party." And I was like, you know what, mate? Me and you are going to be friends forever. Yeah. And I wish I could tell you all the tales, but they all involve swearing. And they don't work. If you're saying poo, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work, does it? Nah, it doesn't work.
But
he did say one thing about your hat, though, didn't he? You couldn't
have
worn
the hat. He said to me at the bar, he said, "My brother, do you wear a hat?" And I went, "No." And he said, "You can't wear no hat. Your thoughts are too big for a hat." And I was like, that is so true. I don't wear a hat. Needless to say, he was a proper dude, man. We had such a laugh.
He is up there. McConaughey is up there.
He tried to get into my and Sarah's hotel room at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that kind of
empty the minibar
for a drink, right? Okay.
Yeah, not for a game of Scrabble.
Oh yes. Yeah. More from Noel Gallagher in just a second on Noel Gallagher Night. This is Radio X.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was the first single from Who Built the Moon? Holy Mountain by Noel Gallagher and the High Flying Birds. Is Noel Gallagher Night on Radio X? No, I embarrassed myself spectacularly with this one. Text you went, "Who does the whistling on that song?"
Well, it wouldn't be for the first time, would it, really?
No, it wouldn't be for the first time. It's a Mellotron, isn't it?
Well, it is live on the track itself. It's our good mates. It's our good mate Slats who plays the penny whistle.
Is it really?
Yeah,
on the old Mellotron.
And yeah, but when we do it live, of course, I don't know anyone who can play the penny whistle, particularly who's willing to come on tour, and. You can kind of treat the sound a little bit, so it's a Mellotron on the live thing.
Not a whistle then?
No, but it is on the record. It's actually a tin whistle, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was funny, I got embarrassed about that one as well, but the amount of times I do that, I was like, you said to me something 6 months ago, you had a little twinkle in your eye, you said there's something on this album that's going to blow people's minds. And I didn't think it would be Scissors, right?
Oh, it wasn't the Scissors. They're not, that's 6 months ago. That came. That thing
when was
just
that?
Came. I don't. I can't remember what it was.
But the Scissors. The Scissors. No, everybody keeps saying.
So what? So what happened with that is, we're rehearsing to do Jules Holland, and we just arrived back from South America. We had 2 days, and Charlotte arrives, and she's doing the French announcement, and I noticed that. It was a good couple of minutes before she came in, and I said to her, can you play the tambourine or something? And she did that thing that, the French are quite arrogant, and particularly French women, she kind of went, I will not play the tambourine. And I was like, well, can you play the shakers? I did not play the shakers. I was like, well, can you do something? And she said, I play the Scissors.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I went, at that point, I topped my in-ear monitor out and went, did you say Scissors? And she said, yeah, the Scissors. Now, she's in her own band, which is called Le Volume Courbe, and she's the singer... And she plays the Scissors. So when she whipped out the Scissors and started playing them, my bass player, I looked at him and said, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And he went, and he was laughing. And I went, shh, shh, shh. Do you know what that sound is? That's the sound of Liam glassing himself. And we laughed. And then after the night, it was on the TV, somebody quipped, it's almost like she's snipping away at the last ribbons of Liam's sanity. So we laughed all the way home. But she's, I adore that girl. She's amazing.
She's a good crack, isn't she?
She's heroic, you know. She's kind of, and she means it. This is not a joke. And but on the subject of Wagbo, the next song that we've got coming up, I'd like to dedicate to my ex-tambourine player and all his fans. And this is the benchmark that any of you are yet to reach. I think you'll know this one. Enjoy it.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
So I'm Gordon Smart and you're listening to The Evening Show. Every Monday night around this time we do a bit of classic album chat, delve a bit deeper into an album we love here at Radio X. Last week we poured ourselves into Elbow and Seldom Seen Kid, and this week we thought we'd have a bit of Curtainers and St Jude after we had Liam Frey on last week. It's been a great week for Curtainers actually. Neighbourhood Weekender is completely sold out now, which is a great one for them, headlining for the first time at a festival on the Saturday night. That should be really special. So we're going to go back to the 7th of April 2008, which is almost 10 years. The anniversary is coming up next year, and Liam hinted last week that there may be some kind of special release. Hopefully that will happen. So the album was released in Polydor, got to number 4 in the UK, which was amazing at the time considering everything that was out. And then in 2010, when the Curtainers released their follow-up album, Falcon, in the same week, St Jude had sold its 100,000th copy. So big numbers, good numbers. It beat off albums from Glass Vegas, Duffy, Adele and Noah and the Whale to win the Guardian's first British Album Award. And it was an amazing time for them really, because they were pretty much 23, 24, that album came out and it was cult status almost straight away. The Curtainers mentioned loads of Manchester locations, Withington, Fallowfield, Piccadilly, they all get a mention, as does a minibus in Middleton, which is class. If you think about Arctic Monkeys that time mentioned in Sheffield, they were doing the same thing for Manchester. But Polytor were a little bit worried that fans outside Manchester wouldn't understand, but it wasn't a problem. It helped St Jude gain that cult status I was talking about, in the Northwest in particular. So Liam was in last week on Monday night, and he was amazed at the time that they were getting to work with a music industry legend like Stephen Street, of course, the legend who worked with Blur and the Smiths. Here's Liam in the studio last week.
I remember getting a phone call off our manager, and I was actually going to watch the Arctics in Liverpool, I think.
Yeah.
I was in Piccadilly and going up, got these flat escalators, and he rung me and he said, Stephen Street wants to produce it. And I thought, it's like, you know, when someone kind of changes the name, like as a bit of a parody, like, you know, like Chet Faker or whatever like that. I thought it's going to be like a new young producer, spelt differently or whatever. And he said, no, like the Stephen Street. And I still remember that was the moment where I was like, wow, no way, man.
So Liam Frey painted the album cover as well. It really is a striking sleeve, and it was based on the iconic, legendary actress Audrey Hepburn. The majority of the album is really forthright, bold, outspoken, classic Liam Frey, and he wrote a lot of it in his bedroom, very, very honest lyrically. Vin, you fell in love with him a little bit after the first single, didn't you?
I heard Acrylic, which was actually on the EP beforehand, but there was a line, I don't know if you remember, there's a line in that that was like, you're like plasticine being moulded into a libertine dreamer. And I remember hearing that, and I liked the Libertines, and I heard the word libertine, so I thought, oh, let's go and check these ones out. I didn't really actually realise it's quite a sort of scathing attack on all these, you know, sheepish people who all want to be, you know, skinny jeans, Pete Doherty-alike.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was one of them. But I went along to the gig, and I saw them play, and it's that honesty that Liam Frey has. You know, every song was about everyday normal stuff that you could relate to. And that's what made me fall for them.
Yeah, they got a bit of a hard time, I remember, as well, for sort of supposedly being a little bit swaggery and trying to follow in the footsteps of Oasis. But there's a lot more to them than meets the eye, and lyrically it was very good. The singles and the B-sides were proof of that, and they featured plenty of very funny covers as well. No You Didn't, No You Don't feature covers from Velvet Underground, The Mamas and the Papas, Laura Marling, James and Sugar Babes, which was a brave move at the time. And a special edition disc was also released featuring demos, acoustic versions, some of the singles, and of course Acrylic, which is Vin's song, the one that introduced them to the band. They are superb. So two songs for you now, back to back, from our classic album tonight, Cretinas and St. Jude, almost 10 years ago. Here we go. How about this? What took you so long and not 19 forever?
The Evening Show, classic album of the week. Next.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
It's not big.
Classic album of the week.
X.
So the classic album tonight on Radio X was Cortina's St. Jude. Two songs back to back there, Not 19 Forever and What Took You So Long. Neil Renton in touch says, can't believe St. Jude from the Cortina's is almost 10 years old. One of the best debut albums for one of the finest bands of their generation. I think you're right there, Neil. So I played you Not 19 Forever there. Liam Frey is, of course, a massive Manchester United fan. He used to be a ball boy there, actually. When United won their historic 20th Premier League title, they used Not 19 Forever as their celebratory music. And if you love that song and want to hear a really special version of it, we've got an acoustic recording in this very studio at radiox.co.uk. It's well worth watching. Go and check it out. I kicked off as well by playing What Took You So Long, the third single from the album, and the band have said it's the one of their best singles, helped them break through into the mainstream. It's a proper attack on kids living on the internet as well, and congratulating themselves on having obscure music tastes rather than living real lives and having real experiences. When Liam was in last week, he told me that fans can expect something for the 10-year anniversary next year. And there may not be the reissue, but you can expect some live dates and something special. Wonder what that could be. I wonder what that could be. So that was this week's classic album chat. I'll have another one next Monday night. Why not suggest another suggestion? Lots of suggestions. We've had loads of good albums so far. What do you reckon, Vim? We've not had Razor Light, have we?
I'm leaning towards Razor Light, but if people want to hear something else, let us know.
The furthest we've gone back is The Who, which was 50 years ago, but anything in the last 50 years, we could give it a little spin. So get in touch, A3936 and at Radio X.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Okay, well, that was not an outtake from The Way We Were. That was, in fact, Cheese and Onion by The Ruttles. So, you know, as you weren't.
Did you hear that noise? That was the second glassing of himself. Listen, no, I went to see a York Hall. You did a gig for Apple, which I think is going to go out tomorrow as well. It was an amazing gig. Brilliant venue, York Hall. You normally see people fighting there. But what was amazing about it, and it's the first time I can remember since about 1999 that mobile phones weren't in the crowd, which is a bit ironic for Apple, right enough. But what a different vibe it gave the
Somebody
gig.
Somebody has invented this technology where you can... you they give you a holster... like Big Shaq would be proud of it, gun holster, and you put your phone in, and it's locked. And in the gig, and if it vibrates in the gig, if like there's an emergency, you can go back outside and take your phone out. But it was so, it was amazing to be in a gig where nobody's filming anything, because for once the crowd were in the room with the band, and I mean I always try and finish my world tours here in London so we can all go and have a tear up.
Quite a night.
And we're kind of talking about now doing a No Phones gig. So we've got a couple of years to organise it.
Has anybody done that before? I don't think they have done that before, have they?
I'm sure they must have. I'm sure they must have. But you can only do it in small crowds, you see. So unless it's moved on a bit. But I think it is quite annoying when you got gigs and there's just a sea of iPhones. It's a bit soul destroying that people don't want to live in the moment, and they want to be sharing stuff with people as it happens. It's like, you know, being on that U2 tour. I mean, it's kind of their own fault for making it look so good because it did look amazing.
Yeah, it was
so
kind of
like 50,000 people with iPhones out. But still, you'd have thought, you know, be in the moment with the band and the music. But maybe it's the future.
Yeah, it's definitely something in it. And talking about gigs as well, we're beginning to hear about festival dates next year. Neighbourhood Weekend in Warrington, your headlining the Saturday night.
That'll
be a special one as well. Good gig back up north.
Yeah. Well, that run of Northern Festivals I did last time out, I can't remember what any of them were called, actually.
Yeah, why not Kendall Collins?
There you go. Yeah. Well done.
Thank you.
They were great. Yeah. And it's nice not to do the big traditional festivals. And you get out there to the lesser played areas where there's, like, they call them boutique festivals. But yeah. I'm looking forward to it. There's a great bill on the night. Well, it's a great bill for the weekend, actually.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be special. Now, listen, I'm writing a really highbrow intellectual book called Slash Gordon. It might not surprise you.
Oh,
it's about the most famous people I've had a pee beside.
Right.
I have found myself next to you at urinal a couple of times.
Yes, indeed.
You cast a shadow. But could you help me finish this book? Can you help me finish this book and tell me about the most famous person you found yourself standing beside?
Well, the one that immediately springs to mind is Brian Ferry.
Ah, now there's a man.
It was in, what's the club called? Some club in Soho, and he kind of came in and and we were doing our business, and I started whistling the whistling solo from Jealous Guy, and to his credit he started laughing. And it was a funny moment, but it would be Brian Ferry.
It's a good one.
As he's known in the game, Brian Ferrari.
There's another Jimmy Tarbuck Urinal story, but that's one for another day. We don't go down that direction. Right, we've got a little break here, and then Noel Gallagher will be back for more Noel Gallagher Night on Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, there's a little story that's really made me chuckle. I want to talk to you about over the weekend. I don't know if you spotted it, but it reminded me of the Greenpeace boat story and the naming scandal Boaty McBoatface. Do you remember that? Well, Doncaster is beating it. On Friday, the results of a poll to name a Doncaster road gritting machine were finalised. Voters on Doncaster Council's Twitter were asked to choose which names they'd like for two of the country's new gritting lorries. Say country, county's probably more appropriate. The vote was set up in the style of a football cup draw, picking balls out of a bowl. Have a listen to this.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us for the live draw for the final of the Doncaster Gritting World Cup Finals. It's been an amazing competition. Literally tens of people online are talking about it, and it's gripped Southern Doncaster like nothing before.
Southern Doncaster, the excitement's palpable. So they set the stage and then announced which names voters would be choosing between.
In first place, we have Spready Mercury. Number two, Basil Salty. Number three, David Plowey. And number four, Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Anti-Slip Machiney.
Absolutely brilliant. Other gritting machines already in service for the council include Gritney Spears, Sub-Zero Hero and Usain Salt. So in the end, over 40,000 votes were cast on the Twitter polls and the victors emerged as David Plowey and Gritsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Anti-Slip Machiney were crowned the winners. But on a technicality, I think I'm going to have to knock David Plowey out, because as we all know, it's David Bowie. That's the correct pronunciation, so that one should have been ruled out. Anyway, here's a reason to play him anyway. In honour of Doncaster's brand new gritting machine, this is David Bowie, Rebel Rebel.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was, of course, you two are going to go places, that band. One day, I'm going to smash it where the streets have no name.
Give us a sense of just how ridiculous those tours are, because it's an incredible thing to behold. Like, I'll give you an example. I interviewed Beck recently, and I said, look, you've just supported Beck. You just supported U2 in North America. What's the catering like? He said this. The quality of the U2 catering, how highly would you recommend it compared to some of the stuff you've seen on over the years?
It's definitely a cut above. It's a cut above. There's lobster the other night.
So he's basically said there's lobster, right?
Yeah, I didn't see, and I've got to say, I didn't see any lobster, but there is not another level above U2.
Yeah.
So there might be a few bands touring at that level, but there's nothing above that. It's magnificent. I've got to say, we had the best time. The 4 weeks across Europe and the 4 weeks in South America, the best time we've ever had as the High Flying Birds, for sure. And because I've known them so long, it's like just touring with your mates.
Yeah.
And their immediate touring party, it's like, I'd say 30 or 40 Dubliners.
Yeah.
And as you well know, it doesn't get any more fun than that, you know what I mean? So it was a great laugh. We had some monumental, the crew end of tour party was spectacular. There is a rumour that me and Bono had done kung fu fighting on the karaoke, but there's no footage of it.
Better so Carl Douglas.
I can't remember it. He can't remember it.
Oh,
but there's no footage of it, so I'm not sure whether it actually happened, if it's just wishful thinking. But it was great. And the last night in Sao Paulo was, they ended on a complete high. It was just amazing. I mean, I'm a huge fan, so they can do no wrong in my eyes. But we had great, great, great memories. And like my band are not fans of U2, and they were kind of indulging me a little bit. But you know, that album in particular, it kind of invented stadium rock, you know, and it was the benchmark. And it was great to be along for the lap of honour for it. Brilliant.
There is a great picture of you on that tour, isn't it? That Sarah took.
It's a magnificent picture. I will hopefully. It will we'll put it out there one day, but it just about sums up everything that you need to know about that picture. It is very, very special. It might actually, did she put it on the internet? Maybe she did, I don't know. Yeah. It's magnificent though, but not as magnificent as them.
They're great lads, aren't they?
They're the best.
Great lads. And your son, Sonny, right?
Mm.
Was he impressed? Was it okay by him? Because, you know, there's somebody that, in your family, that has received the rapier, like the sharp tongue of the Gallagher clan.
This kid, he's seven. He is one of the funniest people I've ever met, and he's only 7 years into it. He was coming out with one-liners like every single night. It was like the first night at Twickenham, you know, he's seen his dad playing the stadium, 70,000 people, and he's like, "Cause me a big cut, oh, dad." And so you two come on, and he's got his ear defenders, and as they go into the where the streets have no name, he turned around and he went, "Well, these are much better than you." And it's back on. There was one night we came off stage in, I don't know, Barcelona, and he was already in the dressing room looking for chewing gum.
Yeah,
that's his thing. He's trying to find the chewing gum, and it was it was like a scene. It's like, hide the chewing gum on Sonny, and he was already in the dressing room, and we were like, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "You know, I mean, I was expecting more from you guys, but still, you know, wow." Like, sarcastic as you like. And then...
You had an audience with Weller this week, did you not?
We bumped into Weller the other night, because we live virtually on the same street. We met... We ended up going to Boots together. We kind of bumped into each other on the street, and he was going to Boots, and I was also going to Boots. He was getting an ointment, and I was getting some sachets, and we'll leave it there. But on the way to Boots, he's like, he hadn't seen Sonny for a bit. He's going, "Oh, Mush, how old are you now, son?" Sonny just looked at him and went, "Do I know you?" But he'll be in bed now, bless him. He's a legend.
Will he?
Yeah. He's a legend. That lad is, honestly, I don't worry about him at all. He's an Uber dude.
He cracked me up because we went to the Manchester Arena, the reopening, which was a really special night, by the way. What an incredible night. And it was Jimmy, my little boy's first gig, and it was magical to see the three of the lads, Donovan, Sonny and Jimmy, watching it. But Sonny said this great thing to me. He just looked at me and went, "Actually, yes, I do remember you now. I do remember you now." Just right. All right, then. Nice.
Well, it's a daily. On the second night of the Twickenham gig, we were like, Sonny's got the attention span of a small flea, right? And he's like, "Are we going to bring Sonny the second night?" We were in the kitchen deciding whether to bring him. And we kind of walked into the room. And the scene was so great, I had to take a picture. And then I said, Sonny, you going to come to this second night? And he was lying naked on the couch, eating a fab. And he just went, nah, it's boring. And I was like, it's looks like a Roman emperor. You know what I mean? It's like, and he was fully naked.
Yeah, brilliant.
Watching Top Gear.
Quite right.
I asked him what he wanted for his birthday a few weeks ago, and he kind of thought long and hard. And I said, so what do you want for your birthday, Sonny? And he went, can I have a Lamborghini? I was like, what? He said a Lamborghini, because he watches Top Gear.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he wants a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, mate. No, you can get your toy one. You know. But he's a dude.
That was a special night as well because Pep Guardiola was there, right? And what a man, what a presence. He changes the temperature of a room when he walks in.
Yeah.
He's a really intelligent big character, isn't he? But you're getting on really well with him, and don't you speak regularly?
I do, yeah. Well, it was an important night for him because his wife and his children were in the arena the night of the bomb.
Yeah.
So,
I know that.
It was a thing for them to go back and exercise the demons or whatever. And I'd invited him down and said, come down and hang out. And he was, honestly, he's just in the dressing room having a beer and he's just one of the lads. And of course, Sarah and all her mates, Kat over there, are all kind of drooling.
My missus as well.
Yeah. And he was, I'm so glad that he's the manager of my football team.
Yeah.
And he's like, the football he's got him playing is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's incredible, isn't he?
He's a dude.
But can I mention one other thing? Why did that bloke start moving all the furniture out when we were sitting in the dressing room? That's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. What was that about?
Because they'd hired in the furniture.
Right.
Because usually when it's your gig, some firm will do it.
Right.
But we were all sat on this couch and the music was going. There was only about six of us left. Right. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. And we were stretching the night out, as McConaughey would say. We were stretching it out. And a guy just walked in and unplugged the fridge and carried it out. And we were kind of looking at him and then rolled up the carpet, carried that out. And we were going, oi, oi. And he was he an Aussie?
Yeah, he had no idea who everybody was.
Mate, yeah, he's got a guy back to the furniture. And we were like, what? Well, you're not taking the couch. And we were all huddled on the couch. And he's going, can you get off the couch? And we were like, no chance, mate. You're going to have to carry us out with the couch. But that was bizarre.
It was bizarre
into the night.
Then we went back to the hotel and somebody started moving the furniture out of there as well.
Did they?
Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Well, it was quite late in the evening.
Okay, well, at four is when I mentally shut down and I'm not, nothing, there is one golden rule, kids, if you listen to this. Nothing good happens after 4 a.m. Nothing worth remembering happens after four. So block it all out. Go hard until four, and if you're going to stay up after four, just switch off.
It has taken you 25 years to work that out, though, hasn't it?
It has.
25 years of research.
But 4 o'clock is kind of like, 4 o'clock is when you do that thing where you have the timeout and go, right, are we going? Are we going to crack on here, or are we going home? And you have to take a bit of a, you have to put the radar up in the room and go, we get another 2 hours out of this, can we? You
know,
yes, we can.
Yeah, you nearly lost me my job one night because of that. Well, you did actually lose me. I've got to move back to Scotland. It's your fault. Now, listen, a man I've got a real bromance with, John Kennedy. He's the most trusted man in music. Did you know that?
John does have a... He would... I'd like to be with John if there was a 3-minute warning from North Korea. I'd like John to say, unfortunately, there seems to have been a bit of a shindig, Kim Jong-un, and the world's about to end, so shall we play a record? You know, I'd like that. I'd be all right.
You know what else, Noel? He's probably got more clothes than you as well. Every night he comes in, he's got different clothes.
Well,
he's on Net-a-Porter with you.
Our generation, okay, it was not even acceptable for our generation. Not, he's going out, he's dressing up, that's it.
Yeah, quite right. More jackets. You should be from Manchester, John, the amount of jackets you've got.
But you've always got to dress for radio, haven't you? You've always got to look your best.
Now that they have cameras everywhere you go now, it's everything.
True.
Everything is filmed now. Everything.
Yeah.
I wonder what did radio people do before the internet?
Yeah.
What did they do? They had to sit in a room, play records, and come up with interesting stuff to talk about. Now they just go, we've got a question from Dave from Dagenham, who says... you know, where's your Union Jack guitar? You know.
Yes, and the answer to that question is?
It's in the British Museum.
There we are.
I say British Museum. It's in a museum, but for the sake of this interview, we'll say it's in the British Museum.
And that's killed Tim Lovejoy's story, because it's not the real guitar that he tells everyone is the one.
Not the real one.
Noel, thanks very much for coming in.
No worries.
I think I've escaped this one with my mum and dad this time. There's nothing in there that could cause me any trouble, which is a relief.
Well, John gets me in. We've still got 30 seconds left.
quick, get in there.
John Kennedy has got an incredible hour ahead on Radio X.
It's longer than that. It's longer than that.
Who's on?
We're going to go way deeper than that. Not just an hour.
Right.
The next 2 hours are taken care of. You know what Noel's like.
Just the temperature Noel likes his snare drum. That kind of stuff.
Yes, very much so.
Well, possibly. I can talk about hi-hats for a while.
Same temperature as avocado.
Avocado. You know, do you eat avocado?
I love it.
I do, on toast in the morning with eggs. Yes, please.
That's where we're at in life, isn't it?
Tell you, mate.
Chili flakes.
I'm still eating wheat. Oh, God. It's all right.
No. John, have a great couple of hours with this man here. What an album.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And we're going to play every single track tonight. And Noel, you're going to talk us through it.
I am indeed. And, well, prepare to be dazzled is all I've got to say.
That's all you've got to say. Noel, thank you very much.
No worries, Gogs.
The voice has just gone right at the end of it. Thanks very much. Noel Gallagher tonight on Radio X. This has been the Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. John Kennedy is up next.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, over the last few weeks, you might have heard me talking about Blade Runner and Star Wars. Harrison Ford's a great, great man. We love to talk about him. And he's been up to his usual heroics over in California yet again. It turns out, just the other day, he saved a woman after a car accident on a motorway, or a freeway, as they like to call it over there in California. He's 74 years old now, but it still didn't stop him pulling his car up after the woman in front of him in Santa Paula lost control and had a crash. Turns out that he managed to get across, get her safe, get her off the motorway until paramedics arrived and treated her for minor injuries. He really is a man whose life imitates art. If you remember, he broke his ankle, I think it was, when a hydraulic door snapped him in half when he was filming Star Wars The Force Awakens. And then about a year after that, he crashed his plane, his light aircraft, onto a golf course. Somebody's just wandering around, finds Harrison Ford in a bunker, in quite a bad way by the sounds of it. But he really is a brave boy, and what a good man, 74 years old and still coming to the rescue of women in trouble. What a great man.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
So there you go, that was the Evening Show podcast from Radio X with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin. If you enjoyed that, please leave a review, tell all your friends about it. And if you like the kind of music I play on the Evening Show, then go and have a look at my playlists. You can see them on Twitter and Instagram. All the kinds of tunes you hear on Radio X and some more is what I listen to all the way through the week. See you later on.
Radio X.